Titus chapter 1. And we're going to read the first three verses here. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now I want you to notice something here. In verse 2, it talks about in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Verse 2 standing alone by itself would indicate that, well, this promise is eternal life. And it is. That's, I guess you could say in this passage, the primary focus of this promise is the eternal life. However, in verse 1, according to the faith of God's elect, now look at this, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. This truth is a part of this promise. You say, well, how can truth be a promise? Well, all God's promises are yea and amen. And when God speaks a truth to us, there is a promise implied. You say, well, what is that promise? Well, it says here in verse 2 that God cannot lie. Therefore, whatever God speaks is truth. The implied promise is this truth stands alone by itself. God's truth needs absolutely no confirmation because it has been spoken by Him. And this is, it can be a source of conflict for many people, not just Christians, but people in general. Because if you're not prepared to accept that God cannot lie, then you will question, or no, you may question much of what He has said. If you don't accept the fact that He can't lie, then you'll read something. And have you ever read, let me say it like this. Have you ever heard something read to you from Scripture or something pointed out to you in Scripture and maybe the thought just zipped through your mind, that's too good to be true? Think about it. You know, we talk about how that, you know, a lot of people go through things in life. Well, I just don't think God can forgive me. Well, but the Bible says that God has forgiven you for everything. And your sins and your iniquities, He doesn't remember. Yeah, but I just don't believe God can forgive me. Well, how long did you commit this sin? 32 years ago. And let me get this straight. You've gotten saved since then, right? Yeah, I got saved 12 years ago. But you don't think God can forgive you? No, but the Bible says that He has forgiven you. Yes, but that's just too hard for me to accept. So now what you're asking for is some kind of confirmation outside of what God has said. So if you're looking for confirmation outside of what God has said, what are you willing to accept as that confirmation? I can tell you what you're willing to accept. Your feelings. Because until you feel like God has forgiven you, then it doesn't matter what God has said. But God has said, I forgive you. I forgive you. Jesus, His blood, wash away your sins. I forgive you. The past is over. I don't recall it. I don't call it to remembrance. So therefore, you're forgiven. That is a promise. See? An eternal promise of forgiveness. Well, now look in Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Once again, we're confronted with two things. Promise and cannot lie. So whatever God has said, it stands. The challenge for us is to just accept it for what He has said. But what we do all too often is we reinterpret what he has said, and we'll read something and, well, God didn't really mean that. What he meant was this. Based upon what we have determined should define truth. Well, what is it that we have determined should define truth? It's what we feel. It's what we think makes sense. God's word in and of itself is truth. And I've had a lot of people over the years, contact me, not just one person, but I'm talking years, contact me and, ask for explanations of Scripture and so forth. And, they want, well, I won't go into detail, but the bottom line is this. If the Holy Spirit can't explain it, it can't be explained. You understand this? If the Holy Spirit is incapable of explaining it, he shouldn't have given it to us in the first place. Because if he doesn't know what it means, why did he say it? So God can't lie. If God can't lie, then that means everything about what he says is a part of who he is. He can't lie. So every time he opens his mouth and begins to speak, nothing but truth comes out. This is an eternal and unchangeable truth. God cannot lie. It is an eternal and unchangeable truth. Denominations and organizations can do their best. Well, actually, they change what God says, but they can't change what he said. In other words, they redefine it, they re-explain it, they reinterpret it and so forth. But God cannot lie, and this is an eternal, unchangeable truth. With that in mind, look over in 2 Corinthians. And we've seen two things. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we've seen two things. Promises, and those promises are directly connected to truth because God cannot lie. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now this is written to people who are born again. And he's saying, therefore, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Let's focus on the spirit part. If I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all sin, then this filthiness of spirit can't be talking about sin. It has to be talking about something else. And the something else that it's talking about has to be directly connected to what? The promises. See this? Because the promises are instrumental in the cleansing. You see that? It's right there. Look at it. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit. Do you see that? So the cleansing of the spirit, my born-again spirit, has something to do with what I do with the promises. In other words, here we have the promises. God cannot lie, so the promises are truth. So we could say it this way. Here we have all of this truth. Therefore, having all of this truth at our disposal, let's use that truth to cleanse ourselves of the filthiness of the spirit. If truth is what cleanses me from filthiness of the spirit, then what would the filthiness of the spirit be? That which is not truth. What is the opposite of truth? A lie. In other words, what he's saying here, and I'll kind of paraphrase it, you can soil yourself with lies. Now let's continue with this. Here we have chapter 7, verse 1. Now you'll notice the first four words, having therefore these promises. Verse 1 is like jumping in the middle of a paragraph. Having therefore the... Okay, what in the world promises are you talking about? Well, we don't have time to go back and study chapters 1 through 6, but I want to point something out specific to you. Look in chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See that? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now, we've always used this passage, not just this verse, but the verses surrounding it as well, to talk to people about, well, you know, if you're born again, you shouldn't be marrying, you know, a person who's not born again. Okay? I understand that. No problem. No problem with that at all. However, I want you to think about this. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What is an unbeliever? Someone who does not believe. Okay? Well, someone who does not believe what? Truth. You see this? If I believe truth, I'm not an unbeliever, am I? So an unbeliever is somebody who does not believe truth. If somebody does not believe truth, what will they turn around and speak into my life? A lie. Okay? Therefore, if I am yoked together with an unbeliever, I didn't say a lost person. I said an unbeliever. If I am yoked together with an unbeliever, that means that person, to some degree, is not accepting truth. Therefore, what that person will speak into my life is a lie. At least part of what that person will speak into my life is a lie. And he says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Righteousness is a foundation for truth. Therefore, if someone is speaking a lie to me, that lie is a form of unrighteousness. Because if God can't lie, the only thing He wants me to receive is truth. But if I'm receiving something other than truth, then I am receiving something that is not compatible with who I have become in Christ. And the Bible says that I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. So if I'm receiving something into my life that is not compatible with my righteousness, then that something I'm receiving is unrighteous. See this? He's drawing a comparison here. Light, darkness, righteousness, unrighteousness. Okay? This light and this darkness have to do with the righteousness and the unrighteousness, and have to do with the truth and lies. So therefore, the unrighteousness would be lies and darkness. The truth would be light and righteousness. Therefore, beloved, having these promises, or having this truth, let us use this truth to cleanse ourselves of the lies that have taken up residence on the inside of us. Are you with me? You say, well, Brother Martin, I'm born again. How in the world can this happen? Well, let's just keep going here. Look in Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. And one verse. Look at verse 130. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. See that? What fellowship hath light with darkness? The entrance of thy words giveth light. What fellowship hath light with darkness? The entrance of thy words giveth light. Let us use these promises. What promises? The truth. What truth? The truth of God's word. The truth that produces light. Let us use this truth, this light, to cleanse ourselves of the darkness of the lies. Because light and darkness have no fellowship. When you walk into a dark room, what's the first thing you do? You turn on the light. Why is that? Because you want to see everything in that room. How many of you have gotten up in the middle of the night and tried to walk through the house that you've lived in for years? And you bump into something. It's been there the whole time. Well, you ought to know by now. But because it was dark, you lost your bearings. And you thought you were walking in the middle of the room when you were 6 inches to the right, and then bam, you walk right into the chair. And then you want to blame somebody for moving the chair. See what I mean? So everything you can be smack dab in the house of God, but if the lights are turned out, you understand what I'm saying? The entrance of thy word giveth light. So therefore, if I'm going to cleanse myself from all unrighteousness or filthiness of the spirit, then I'm going to have to purge myself of the lies, and the only way I'm going to be able to do that is the entrance of thy word giveth light. Look over in 1 John. I'm going to show you a variation on the theme on this. These verses will exemplify what I'm talking about. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. The entrance of thy word giveth light." God is light. Therefore, God is his word. God cannot lie. "The entrance of thy word giveth light. God is light, and in him is no darkness. In him is no unrighteousness. In him is no lie." God cannot lie. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." If we say that we are walking in the fullness of who God is, and yet we have embraced darkness or lies into our lives, and we have that filthiness of the flesh, then guess what? We're actually lying. Lying how? Lying out of the darkness that is on the inside of us. And we don't have the fellowship with him that we think. But if we walk in the light, walk in the truth, walk in his word, as he is in the light, the truth, his word, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, again, I'm not breaking down this whole passage. I'm just trying to use this to make a point. Think of it like this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, I want you to really narrow your thinking down for this teaching only on this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, I have fellowship with him, one with another. Father and child, see this? I have fellowship with him. The only way that I can have the true fellowship with him is if I'm walking in the light or walking in the truth. If I am not walking in the fullness of truth, then there is a part of my life which is out of fellowship with him. See this? Now let's take it a little bit further. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, look at what it says in verse 27. "Neither give place to the devil." Now, really, the whole fourth chapter is critical here, but I just want to point this out. "Neither give place to the devil." Somebody says, "Well, praise God, I don't give place to the devil." Okay, well, what do you mean by that? "Well, I don't drink, I don't party, I don't do drugs, and I don't cheat on my husband or my wife. I don't give place to the devil. Buddy, I walk a holy life." Okay? But do you think that's the only way that you can give place to the devil? Look back over in John chapter 8. I want to present something to you here. Don't give place to the devil. That is the instruction. But now look what Jesus said about Satan. About the devil. John 8:44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the what? He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, we just read over in Ephesians 4:27, don't give place to the devil. Jesus has made, he's done everything he can to emphasize to us that the devil is a liar. Now therefore, even though I may not smoke and I may not drink and I may not drugs and I may not pornography and I may not do any of these things, I may have this clean life, if you will. Bottom line is, if I'm walking or if I have filthiness of spirit, if I have embraced lies into my life, do you understand I've given place to the devil? If he's a liar, God cannot lie, but Satan is a liar. And if I've embraced a lie, then you need to understand, it may not be a huge door, but it's a door. I've given place to the devil. And Paul warned about this. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know, I got to thinking about Satan here a little while back, and it's like, what is it with this guy? I mean, he's really messed up. Now, don't misunderstand. I wasn't feeling sorry for him, okay? But I was trying to understand some things. And I'm thinking, you know, think about everything that has happened in Scripture. Jesus comes along, and look what Jesus did. You know, Satan says, if you be the Son of God, do this and do that. Well, Jesus didn't give in to his words, but Jesus turned around and basically did everything that Satan was talking about. What I mean is, he performed great works. He cast devils out. And it didn't matter how those devils wanted to stay in those people. It didn't matter how bad they wanted to remain there. Jesus cast them out. All the time. And Satan kept coming back and kept coming back, kept coming back. Well, you keep reading in the New Testament. And you get to this really odd story. It's all the way at the end of the Bible, where it talks about how Satan is, you know, chained up and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then when the 1,000 years is over, he's released from the pit, and he tries one last time to overthrow Jesus, and then he's cast into the lake of fire forever. And I'm thinking, okay, this makes no sense. And here's what I mean. He's done his best to win. And yet, in spite of it, I mean, all the other devils and demons and everything, here they are. They watch this as, you know, their king, Satan, is overpowered by an angel, wrapped up in chains, and then thrown into a bottomless pit. And he can't do anything about it. And so for 1,000 years, there he is in this thing. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, it gets loosed, and he still tries to take over. And I'm thinking, I don't understand this. And God was talking to me about that, and he said, you've got to realize that Satan is so messed up, no matter what, and he knows the Bible. Remember that? He quoted from Scripture to Jesus. He knows the Bible. But no matter what has been written in the Word of God, and no matter what has happened, even his encounters with Jesus, even Jesus being raised from the dead according to prophecy, all of these things that have happened, all of them, Satan watched as Jesus led captivity captive. All those, remember the people, you know, Abraham's bosom it talks about, and they're released from, I mean, Satan knew this. And yet he still, you know, the 1,000-year thing and all this. And God said, you've got to understand. He is, well, this verse says it. Look here. He abode not in the truth because there is no truth in Him. There is no truth in Him. And God said, at the end of the 1,000 years, when He gets released, He will be thinking He's the one that got Himself released. He's going to be struggling that whole 1,000 years to get free. And when He's finally freed, He's going to think He's the one who's won the victory. In spite of what has been prophesied, He has convinced all the demons that He really is going to win when it's over and done with. And when you read the book of Revelation and all these things that are going to happen, and then as they start to come to pass, the devils know these things. They understand that these things are going to come to pass. In other words, they understand, but they still believe they're going to win. This is what you're dealing with. Satan does not believe anything. You can cast devils out all day long and he still thinks he can come back. He still thinks he can beat you. He still thinks he's going to defeat God. This is his mindset. There's nothing in him that comprehends the truth as we comprehend it. And this is why dealing with him sometimes can be so confusing. It's because we think he's at least smart enough to recognize that there is some truth out there, but he's so deceived he thinks everything he is truth. And Jesus says, but there's no truth in him. He is the ultimate of deception, and he is the ultimate deceived. So here we are. If I believe a lie, if I have this filthiness of spirit that he's talking about, what I have done is opened a little window of my life to Satan. And we have an instruction from God that says that we need to cleanse ourselves of filthiness of spirit. How do we do this? With these promises? With the Word of God. Take it a step further. Look over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, look here in verse 30. Jesus says, hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, now look here, and hath nothing in me. He has nothing. And have you ever wondered what this is talking about? Well, in part, what this is talking about is that there was absolutely nothing in Jesus that was a lie. There was no filthiness of spirit. He was walking in the fullness of truth. You say, well, of course it was, Brother Martin. That's Jesus. Yeah, but the Bible says over there in John, as he is, so are we in this world. And the Bible says that we can conform to the image of Christ. Therefore, I can come to the place. Now, this is going to mess up some people, maybe. I can come to the place to where I'm like Jesus. Not, you know, deity, but I'm like Jesus in that I can have the filthiness of spirit cleansed. And there is no open door of my life to the enemy in any way, shape, or form. Nothing. He has nothing in me. There's no lie working in me. You say, give me an example, Brother Martin. Okay, I'll give you one example and we'll continue on. Healing is not for today. That's a lie. It's an absolute lie. But if I believe that, then that lie is filthiness of spirit. Part of my spirit is dirtied by that lie. And that is an open door for the enemy. Because if I don't believe that healing's for today, you know what? It's going to be a whole lot easier for him to lay some kind of sickness and disease on me and keep it there. That is one example. Now look over in John chapter 8. Turn back over there. And look what Jesus said. And man, I'm telling you what, this is one of the most powerful statements you will ever find anywhere in Scripture. Jesus says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now listen to this. What he's pointing out here is the way to live in the fullness of freedom. I've said before that the level of freedom that we live in is directly proportionate to the amount of truth we accept. This represents a great transformation. See, just because you're born again does not mean that there is no filthiness of spirit. You're cleansed of sin. You're born again. The blood of Jesus has washed you. But when it comes to the whole concept of lies, there's no... In fact, I'll say this. Every babe in Christ has some filthiness of spirit. How dare you say such a thing? Well, now, if that weren't true, we wouldn't have to be discipling people now, would it? Why disciple somebody if they're already walking in the fullness of truth? We're trying to... Discipling, in part, is an attempt to replace lies with truth. Now, this represents a great transformation. I want you to listen to this. A recognition of truth increases knowledge, but a comprehension of truth leads to freedom from every form of bondage and captivity. Now, I'm going to say that again because I know some of you are writing this down. A recognition of truth increases knowledge, but a comprehension of truth leads to freedom from every form of bondage and captivity. I'll read it one more time. A recognition of truth increases knowledge, but a comprehension of truth leads to freedom from every form of bondage and captivity. Think about it. Jesus said you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Free from what? Well, you name it. Now, let me say something here, and you might need to listen closely to this. Healing is not truth, but truth can produce healing. Healing, even in and of itself, is not truth, but truth can produce healing. You say, well, what do you mean? By His stripes ye were healed. Okay, now that is truth. That truth can produce healing. Your word, I should have written this one down and I didn't. But it talks about, over there, I think it's in Proverbs, about how that God's word is health to my flesh and something like to my marrow or something like that. See? Healing, just the act of healing or the incident of healing or you know the word of healing, I don't know how to put this. Healing in and of itself is not truth, but truth can produce healing. And this is where some people kind of mess up on this. Because God says in His Word, now this is a truth that cannot be changed. I sent my word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. That is truth. Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That is truth. By His stripes, ye were healed. That is truth. The lie is the sickness. Okay, I stand before you this night, delivering this sermon, winning a victory over a lie. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Nearsightedness is a lie. You see these glasses on my face. I mean, it's not like I can hide it. Nearsightedness is a lie. You say, what do you mean by that? The medical profession tells you that nearsightedness cannot be healed. Oh, they give you glasses and they'll try to laser your eyes and all this other kind of stuff. But they'll tell you it can't be healed. That is a lie. The truth is, by His stripes, I was healed. Oh, but come on, Brother Martin, you know when you get old, your eyes go bad. Do you see how easy it is for lies to take up residence? Come on, Brother Martin, when you get old, your body goes to pot. Okay, now, I agree with you that these bodies have been cursed. Genesis chapter 3, okay? I understand. The corruption's there. But that doesn't mean I have to live my 120 years battling sickness. The truth, listen to me, the truth is, by His stripes I was healed. The lie is cancer. The truth is, by His stripes I was healed. The lie is whatever you come up with. The truth is, and this causes even the Christian mindset to start to go tilt. Why? It's because, again, we're defining truth by what we feel and what we choose to accept. And the Bible has already said two places God can't lie. So therefore, the best thing for us would be to just accept what He said here. Healing isn't the truth, but the truth produces healing. Man can deliver truth only if he has first received it, because man is not the origin or source of truth. Please let that sink in. Man can deliver truth only if he has first received it, because man is not the origin or source of truth. See, I can't stand up we're talking about God truth here, okay? I can't give it to you unless I know it, unless it's been delivered unto me. We are born into this world with absolutely no concept of God truth. We don't know squat when it comes to God truth. We have no clue. None. We don't know. This is why people end up, if they are separated from God truth, then they will create idol worship. They will create forms of religion. They'll sacrifice babies and all kinds of stuff because they have no God truth. We are born into this world completely 100% void of God truth. Now, there may be something in us that is crying out saying, there's got to be something greater out there. All right, I understand that. But the whole concept of what I'm sharing with you here, God truth, we don't know. And now here's what's crazy. You've got preachers standing up in pulpits every week. They acknowledge the existence of God, but there is no God truth at work. And they're preaching sermons. They're teaching something, but there's no God truth. Man can deliver truth only if he has first received it. Because man is not the origin or source of truth. Therefore, the only way that I can deliver truth is if I have received it from the origin, from the source. That's the only way. You say, well, yeah, Brother Martin, we've got the Bible. Amen, we've got the Bible. But you've got people, they're born again, all right, and they're going to heaven. But they will stand up some, maybe this coming Sunday somewhere, and tell people healing's not for today. That's because they got to preach something. But the God truth relative to healing is not anywhere to be found in them, in spite of what God's printed word says. And so therefore, they stand up and speak out of the filthiness of spirit the lie that they have embraced concerning healings not for today. Are you starting to see how dangerous this is? Look over in John chapter 16. And look here what Jesus said, keeping all of what we've covered in mind. Look what Jesus says. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth. I'm telling you, He did not use this word by accident. He's trying to make a point. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Another way to put that is He will guide you into God. Because God can't lie. God is truth. And since the entrance of Thy word giveth light, He will guide you into all light. As he's guiding you into all light, whatever fellowship that you've had with darkness, the lies of darkness, what we read about over there in 2 Corinthians 6:14, the darkness is going to be dispelled. He will guide you into all truth. Now look here. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears. See this? He shall speak. And it'll show you things to come. He is the Spirit of truth. One of the responsibilities of the Holy Spirit is to be to us the Spirit of truth. I am born again. My spirit has truthfully been born again. But I'm not the Spirit of truth. Just because you're born again, remember, doesn't mean that you're walking in truth. The Spirit of truth has been given to see to it that I am, I'll say it like this, properly discipled so that the filthiness of flesh is purged, is cleansed. He talked about cleanse ourselves from filthiness of flesh. The Holy Spirit has responsibility to help me with this. And whatever he hears, that he will speak. So therefore, who's he hearing anything from? Well, the only person he's paying attention to is God. Now you know that. So God the Father tells him what to say. And then he says it. In other words, the Holy Spirit is God. God cannot lie. The Holy Spirit cannot lie. It's impossible for the Holy Spirit to lie. People talk about, I want to hear God, I want to hear God. The problem is, you may not always like what you hear. Because if he can't lie, he's going to tell you the truth. Whether you can handle it or not. He can't lie. I want to know, I want to know. He can't lie. That means everything that comes out of the mouth of the Holy Spirit is truth. Now listen to this. Praying in tongues releases absolute pure truth and light into our spirit, which opposes the darkness of all lies to cleanse them from us. I'll say that again. Praying in tongues releases absolute pure truth and light into our spirit, which opposes the darkness of all lies to cleanse them from us. Now here's the thing. We know from Scripture that when we pray in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit that is creating that language that's coming out of us. So as I pray in tongues, I am praying what the Holy Spirit is giving to my spirit. He is telling me what to say based upon what he has heard the Father tell him to tell me what to say. You follow this chain of command here. So the Father knows what I'm supposed to be praying. So the Father speaks to the Holy Spirit. And since God cannot lie, that means God the Father is speaking to God the Holy Spirit truth. Therefore, when I open my mouth and I begin to pray in tongues, God the Holy Spirit is releasing through me absolute pure truth. Which means every moment that I spend praying in tongues, I am releasing truth into my spirit. And now listen to this. I am engaging myself in the operation of cleansing myself from filthiness of spirit. How else are you going to do it? Think with me for a moment. Remember, we just talked about how that all these different churches and all these different preachers, they have the Bible. But how much crazy stuff is out there being preached? Some of you have come out of churches where, in fact, some of you, you know, you got to the place to where somehow you realized that, man, there's a bunch of just wrong stuff that's being delivered here in this church. They're telling people how to get born again, but beyond that, man, I just can't. And you couldn't wait to get out of there. This goes on all over the place. I get emails from people. They can't find churches anywhere. They search and hunt and look and all this other. And in fact, I've had people tell me, well, you know, everything was fine until they did the offering. Then they're putting everybody under a curse. That's filthiness of spirit. Think about it. Think. How many, I can remember, years ago, my buddy and I were, we attended school. We went to Sinclair together, and it was a bad winter. I mean, it was, well, the blizzard of 78, all right, snow's melting, and there's knee-deep slush everywhere. So we're driving on the street, and he's got this Mustang, and there's a bus stop up ahead. And there's this lady standing there at the bus stop, you know, I'm sure this thing was fake. This head, this, you know, shoulder, I mean, floor length, you know, fur coat. And another guy standing next to her. And right there at the curb, there was a pile of slush. It had to have been 5, 6, 8, 10 inches deep. At the last minute, he swerved over and he hit that, and I'm telling you, it looked like a tidal wave. There was no way they could have gotten out of the way. They were covered. And we laughed about it. Now, I mean, okay, I'm not laughing about, well, I kind of am, but now, wait, now there's a point to this. If they had known, yeah, let's hear it, Brother Martin. If they had known what we were going to do, would they have stood there and let it happen? No. But do you know what's happening in churches continually? Out of the filthiness of my spirit, you know, I'm talking about all these other churches, not me. Out of the filthiness of their spirit, they're spraying this filth all over the people in the congregation. And unless they've got an umbrella or something to protect them from it, they're receiving it into their lives and it's creating filthiness of their spirit. And they're soiled because of it. And God says you've got to cleanse yourself of this. The problem is, listen, God's Word in and of itself. Remember Jesus talked about sanctify them through thy Word. Thy Word is, through thy truth, thy Word is truth. And Jesus said, you're clean through the Word that I've spoken unto you. Okay, I do understand. And I'm not debating, questioning, or doubting the cleansing power of our Bible. You see what I'm saying? The problem is, if you don't have a comprehension of the truth, you can read this Word and increase head knowledge. But if you don't have a comprehension of the truth, you can't turn around and you can't deliver it. That's why the Holy Spirit, one of the reasons why, He is referred to as the Spirit of Truth. Because when He goes in there, He looks around, He sees all that filthiness. And He knows what needs to be cleaned. That's why when I'm praying in tongues, He's releasing. I am in the process of this cleansing myself of the filthiness of spirit. And the light is being released. The truth is being released. And it's opposing all of the darkness of the lies on the inside of me. And this stuff's being pushed out. And this stuff's being cleansed. And I'm washing myself on the inside. He sees it more than what I do. Because there's not one of us in here who comprehends the fullness of the filthiness of spirit that may exist on the inside. We don't, you know why? Because lies are deceptive. And you don't know you're deceived while you're deceived. But the moment the deception becomes revealed to you, it is an exposed lie. Now you've got a choice. You can hold on to that filth or you can purge it. See? And this is why praying in the Spirit is so vitally important to this whole cleansing process. Let me say it to you like this. And I know that some folks may argue with this. If you don't pray in tongues, how in the world are you going to adequately, fully, and completely cleanse yourself from all filthiness of spirit? How are you going to do that? Because the Holy Spirit knows where every lie is hiding on the inside. Now, when you're praying in tongues and this cleansing is taking place, I was thinking about this and meditating on it. And as I'm just thinking about this whole process, it's like the Lord gave me this little vision. And how many of you know what a power washer is? It's a tank. You hook up the garden hose to it, and the water goes into the tank, and you know, you plug the tank in, and it creates pressure. And then the pressure comes out this, like this little nozzle, this wand, and you can wash the grime off your house, or, you know, out of the concrete. Because you can use soapy water and scrub on the concrete, and you're not going to really get it clean. But if you power wash it, it can almost look like brand new concrete. Or you can get all the dirt out of the nooks and crannies of the siding on your house and so on and so forth. But you've got to power wash it. And God was showing me, He said, you know, when you pray in tongues, it's like the Holy Spirit's using a power washer on your spirit. Cleansing all that stuff right off. And He literally gave me the vision of a guy power washing a house. He said, that's what it's like. You're power washing your spirit. When you pray in tongues, you're bypassing the filter of your soul. Because, you see, in the realm of the soul, we've already made a determination to believe whatever it is we've chosen to believe. So if I'm in a tongues aren't for today, or if I'm in a healing's not for today church, then I'm believing that. But see, if I can get somebody, if I get myself, see, to start praying in tongues, and what happens is it bypasses all that stuff, and it goes directly to my spirit. Here's imagery for you. It's like taking a spiritual needle and putting it in a spiritual vein and injecting pure truth right in. I mean, just straight in. Just letting it flow through your spiritual veins. As long as I'm embracing a lie, let me back up and start this all a little bit differently. As long as I'm holding on to lies, and lies are operating on the inside of me, whatever they might be, then what that is actually doing, it's soiling my spirit and interfering with the glory that God wants to have released through me. It's a barrier to the fullness of what God wants to have happen in my life. And as long as I hold on to this, see, God can only use anyone, a Christian. I'm talking about using them according to His standard, not man's standard, okay? His standard. He can only use a person to the degree that they're walking in truth. If you're walking, let me just say it this way, if you're walking in 15% truth, then He can use you at 15% capacity of His call for your life. Because when 85% of what's left over is filthiness of spirit, He can't handle that. He can't deal with that. He can't use it. So He can only use to that degree. And the more that we cleanse ourselves of this filthiness of spirit is the more that He's going to be able to use us. And you know, it's amazing, but a message like this, there are so many Christians that would struggle with it. And it's almost like, you know, okay, I believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost and I believe in praying in tongues, but I just don't think it's really that bad, Brother Martin. Well, you just told me that there's a powerful lie that's operating in your life. Look, I've said this before. Find some place in Scripture. Just help me see in Scripture where the Holy Spirit will do the exact same thing for us that happens when we pray in tongues, only He'll do it when we don't pray in tongues. Help me find it. It's not in there. You can't get that benefit unless you're praying in the Spirit. Well, yeah, but Brother Martin, I just think there's too much emphasis on praying in tongues. Well, you just, you know, another lie. I'm not trying to be mean to you. Look, we've all had to overcome lies. You know, don't take this as criticism. Take this as encouragement and exhortation. Praying in the Spirit will help purge every lie that Satan has ever been able to sow into your life. Well, but things are going pretty good for me, Brother Martin. I don't think I need this. Okay. That's all right. I mean, it's not all right, but it's your choice. You can do what you want. I'm just telling you. I'm an example of this. I used to believe a lot of stuff that were lies, and I believed them. Bless God. And I accepted the twisting of Scripture to support the lies. Then you start praying in tongues. And the Holy Spirit says, go back to that verse and read it again. Keep it in context. Let me clear some things up for you. Like, wow, you mean I've been wrong for all these years? He says, yep. Then it's like he says, what are you going to do about it? It's like, well, I can keep my denomination happy by holding on to the lie. Do you know that there are some preachers, they've been confronted with truth, and they've acknowledged that is truth, but they keep preaching the lie because they're afraid to lose their church, lose the tithes and the offerings and everything else? Yep. Now, that's going to be a hard one to explain to God. Here, just do this. Just assume, all of us now, let's just assume somewhere in here there's filthiness of spirit. Okay? Let's be really nice about it. Let's just say there's only one lie left. We don't know who put it in there, okay? We don't know who spoke it into our lives, but there's just one left. We don't know it's there. But the Spirit of Truth does. And He knows how it's affecting us. He knows what damage it is doing. So, if we just keep praying in tongues, that one last lie is going to be purged. Power washed. Right out. The more lies that are washed out, the more light we walk in. And the more fellowship we have with Him. It just encourages me to want to pray in tongues more.